From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. Governor Mike Dunleavy proposed introducing a state lottery last night during his second State of the State address. He called it an innovative new approach to revenue for the state. There are currently no bills in the legislature to create a lottery. He also proposed allowing Alaskans to exchange their permanent fund dividends for land.
We are going to look at totally revamping how Alaskans get a piece of the last frontier. We're going to put in place a number of initiatives that will enable Alaskans to own a piece of this great state, easier and cheaper than ever before.
Under his proposal, Alaskans could receive certificates for lands valued at twice their statutory PFDs. Dunleavy also said that last year's budget cut proposals were a shock to many Alaskans.
I didn't run for governor to hurt the state that I love and the people I care about. No governor wishes to do that. But with that said, we still have a significant fiscal issue that needs to be addressed for the long term.
But he said the legislature must allow Alaskans to vote on constitutional amendments that he's proposed that would require public votes on changes to dividends and new or increased taxes, and that would limit state spending. Dunleavy also spent several minutes of the speech talking about developing the state's resources, including fish, timber, and rare earth minerals, in addition to oil. Dunleavy also referred to a 2010 state law that calls for generating half of the state's energy through renewable resources.
Whether it's tidal, hydro, solar, biomass, wind, or geothermal, we have more potential to deploy renewable energy than anywhere else on the planet. And we have an obligation to make every possible effort to reach this 50% goal by 2025.
During the course of his speech, he brought up an initiative to deter sex trafficking and other sex offenses. And at the end of the time in his at the podium, he brought up education, including his instructions to the education commissioner to launch a working group to consider ways to recruit and retain teachers. Members of the multi-party House Majority Caucus say they were encouraged by parts of the address and want more information, especially on the land exchange and the lottery ideas. House Speaker Bryce Edgemond says it appears that the governor has been listening to Alaskans.
So it's, I think, gratifying to hear a different tone, a different approach, we hope, and certainly a willingness to work with us here in the legislature and to work with those around the state. However, as I say, the devil's in the details.
Edgemond says working on the formula to set permanent fund dividends may be the largest task facing the legislature. In a lot of rural Alaska communities, village public safety officers are the only formal law enforcement. However, due to outdated statutes and limited funding, the VPSO program has struggled to adequately keep villages safe for years. A legislative working group charged with addressing the issue presented their findings today at the House Public Safety Finance Subcommittee. They approved a list of recommendations last week.
We realized we needed to really look hard at the way we're delivering public safety service to Alaskans that are off the road system, and how can we better deliver this service.
Anchorage Republican Representative Chuck Kopp is the co-chair of the working group. He highlighted that the VPSO program is administered through 10 tribal nonprofits.
The best way for me to describe this is an outstanding example of local government delivering local solutions to a critical challenge of public safety.
A point of contention arose in the meeting when Palmer Republican Representative Delina Johnson questioned whether tribal governments operated in the same way as local governments.
To me, local government means local elected officials,
sure.
Which to me also means that the population maybe has more, more actual input into. I always feel like there should be a connection between elected officials and people that might arrest you.
Kopp clarified to Johnson and the rest of the committee that tribal government officials are indeed elected by tribal members. After Kopp's presentation, State Department of Public Safety Commissioner Amanda Price presented the department's position on the recommendations. Price commended the work of the working group and the VPSO program and highlighted how she hopes the program could be improved.
As we address increasing responsibilities to the village public safety officers in the field, we also concurrently address background requirements, hiring requirements, training requirements, and some sort of certification.
Currently, according to the State Department of Public Safety, VPSOs attend training at the Alaska State Trooper Academy in Sitka for 9 weeks. They are also supposed to receive annual training for fire protection, search and rescue, and emergency medical services. There are various things that make someone ineligible to be a VPSO, including having a felony, a misdemeanor in the last 10 years involving domestic violence, and use of marijuana within a year of being hired. Pelican and Tenneke Springs residents saw their fears come true last week in the form of the state's proposed summer ferry schedule, a schedule that calls for zero summer sailings to the two remote island communities. The town's mayors, already grappling with the current lack of ferries, expressed shock and dismay at the proposed schedule. KCAW's Ari Snyder reports.
Tenneke Springs hasn't seen a ferry in months. And as Mayor Dan Kennedy found out when he looked at the proposed summer schedule, that drought is unlikely to end anytime soon.
It was stunning. I mean, they just left us hanging in the wind for a year or more than a year.
The Alaska Marine Highway System was already in rough waters before the state released the draft schedule. Last year, the legislature cut funding to the system by about 40%, the price of avoiding a deeper cut proposed by Governor Mike Dunleavy. Since then, unexpected repairs have kept vessels out of service for longer than anticipated, further hampering service. And it's not just the schedule that is working against Tenneke. The town's dock is due for a replacement, and work is supposed to start in early July. Kennedy hoped they would get a sailing or two early in the summer to help tide things over until the dock is finished in December. But if the draft schedule becomes the final word, Tenneke would be looking at another full year without ferries.
Well, I'm just outraged. You know, I think the state probably has enough contingency funds somewhere to do something, whether it's, you know, hire a private vessel, or that's about the only alternative I see at this point.
As it stands, the town is already suffering from being essentially stranded for months. The shelves are bare at the store, residents have struggled to make medical appointments, and all the local businesses have taken a hit. For many, it's just too much to bear.
Yeah, a lot of people have just left. I mean, I've never seen so few people in town. I mean, it's always less in the winter, but I bet we're around 50 this year, and I've never seen it that low.
Kennedy and others are doing what they can to advocate for the interests of Tenneke, but he's not overly optimistic about the sway they hold in Juneau.
Oh, we're just going to try and keep pressure on the governor. I mean, we don't have a lot of clout, obviously. 50 people in the middle of nowhere right now, and hopefully we can embarrass them into doing something.
40 air miles away, on the other side of Chichagof Island, the town of Pelican is also confronting the possibility of a summer without ferries. Unlike Tenneke, though, Pelican's ferry dock is in good shape. Mayor Walt Weller says it's just not seeing a lot of use these days.
We've got a really nice multi-million dollar AMHS terminal. It doesn't have a building or anything, but just the docking structure is pretty nice. It's only about 10 years old. It's just sitting there. I'm looking at it out my window. It's just sitting there looking wet and lonely and cold.
Pelican, like Tenneke, hasn't had a ferry in months. To make matters worse, neither community has an airstrip, and winter weather makes float plane travel unreliable at best. Weller echoed many of Tenneke's economic and logistical concerns. He's particularly worried about how to get trucks in to pump out the town's sewer system. Another big question is how the town's seafood processor would fare without a ferry to take its product to market. Beyond the day-to-day challenges, Weller says the breakdown of the state ferry system has unfairly jeopardized island communities, overlooking the value that places like Pelican provide to the state as a whole.
For our size, a major contributor, you know, to what Alaska is all about, which is sport fishing and tourism and the world's best seafood, and it's like, well, never mind, you know, you guys are on your own.
Weller, Kennedy, and other mayors and stakeholders throughout the region are scrambling to get some service restored where possible. Weller says Pelican could get by with just 8 to 10 sailings a year.
Having some form of economical transportation in line with what the Alaska Marine Highway System was originally mandated for, which was commerce and supporting these small communities, that's all we're asking for. We don't have any reason to ask for a ferry every week or even every month. We just don't want to be cut completely off.
The DOT is gathering public comments on the proposed schedule now until February 3rd. They will also hold a teleconference on February 4th to hear additional comments. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ari Snyder.
Turning now to weather, we've been seeing a mix of rain and snow this afternoon, mostly in the form of rain downtown. The snow level is around 600 feet this evening. Tonight, we can expect more rain and snow with snow accumulation up to 2 inches. That's mainly in the valley and out the road. Tomorrow, the snow level is going to march up to 1,500 feet by the afternoon, which means rain is likely throughout the city and borough of Juneau. Highs in the upper 30s tomorrow.